Hey, how's it going, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Backhand Banter. As usual, I'm your host, Sean Mithil, and today I'm going to be doing a 2024 Australian Open recap and also giving my prediction for the men's final tomorrow between Daniil Medvedev and Jannik Sinner. Without any further ado, let's get right into it. So to kick off this recap, I'd like to start by talking about some players, and then I want to talk about some matches, especially later in the tournament. I really want to look into those. And the first player that I'd like to talk about is Adrian Mannarino. I mean, huge congratulations to him for making it to the fourth round, especially since he's been around for a long time. I think he's often a player that is overlooked, and it was really nice to see him do well. I think last year something that he lacked was consistency with his results, especially towards the end of the year. Some tournaments he would get really far in, and he'd even win them. He finaled in Mallorca, and he even won in Newport and Astana. Now, the Australian Open this year has shown the great results that Mannarino is capable of achieving, because at the end of the day, he's really good at just getting balls back, and his opponents really need to structure points well and apply pressure, but be very, very patient. For example, Ben Shelton, who has bigger shots everywhere, lacks the patience in his game, and Mannarino was able to exploit this in the Australian Open and lengthen points, forcing Shelton to miss. Shelton has 75 unforced errors compared to Mannarino's 40. Also in this match, something that really allowed Mannarino to attack was his ability to cut off high backhands, and he would flatten the ball out and force Shelton to stretch out off the court. This is very helpful against players like Shelton, who can hit a very heavy lefty topspin forehand. And Mannarino's ability to cut these off is what I think has contributed to his 70% success rate at the net during this match. Mannarino was really on a run in this tournament, and ultimately he fell short to Djokovic, which we can all understand that. That's no surprise. Djokovic can do what Mannarino can do, but he just does it much better. So obviously Djokovic was able to pick apart Mannarino pretty quickly. Now, I mentioned Mannarino's inconsistency in terms of results, where he won those tournaments beating very solid players, but he also had some questionable tournaments as well. Towards the end of the year, he lost some first and second round matches in like Paris and Stockholm to players that you would think he would usually beat. Granted, Paris, for example, is indoor hard court, so it's a faster court, and that's not going to play to Mannarino's strength because he makes a lot of balls, and a faster court means that he has less time to prepare. But now I did mention that he won a few tournaments like in Astana and at the Sofia Open as well. So he's shown that he's capable of producing these results against top guys, but he just struggles with maintaining that. We saw that last year. And I think for this tournament, it's really given him a strong start to this year. And it's something that we need to look out for this year. If he can stay consistent with results like this, he's going to be somebody to look out for. Now, somebody else that I want to briefly talk about is Denis Shapovalov. He continues to struggle, and this has been going on for like over a year. He's not achieving the results that he used to, and his performance in the Australian Open this year isn't showing much promise. Now, I get that he had his knee injury, and that is likely persisting, but he needs to get his injury resolved, especially while he's still young. The injury has been there since 2022, and it's tough to say what 2024 is going to hold for him. He may decide to keep going, and if he chooses that, I think that these results where he's losing first round and really struggling is going to continue. But if he decides to dedicate 2024 to recovery, I think that's what he needs to do to get to that level that he was at prior to the injury. But we'll see what Denis decides to do during 2024, but I think this season is really what's going to dictate the rest of his career. One surprise that I saw, especially in the earlier rounds, was seeing Holger Rune lose in the second round to Arthur Cazaux. Generally, Cazaux has been playing more challenger events, and he's been doing extremely well in those. He's finaled in many, and he's won some of them as well. But when he was playing non-challenger ATP events, he was losing pretty early, like first or second round. So without a doubt, this tournament was a great way to kick off the year for Cazaux, and I think it's going to be a confidence boost for him. Going far in the Australian Open is definitely something that a young player like him needs, and I think it's really going to propel his game forward and allow him to achieve very good results, especially this year. Now, for the match between Rune and Cazaux, which I would say was definitely an unexpected result, Something that I noticed to be a great strength for Kezo was his court coverage and his ability to just stay in the point. There were numerous times where Rune was attacking and working his way in, but Kezo wasn't letting up and he kept putting another ball in the court, just extending the rally, and that really made Rune struggle. In the first set, Rune had double the amount of unforced errors, and in a tight set like that, not giving away a few of those points would likely have allowed Rune to win the first set, and that could have shifted the momentum in the match and changed the entire result. So the first set, those errors I think definitely cost him. And Kezo was playing really solid tennis, and he was really wearing Rune down. Eventually we saw Rune come into the net at some questionable times, I would say, just trying to shorten the points because he was feeling the pressure because Kezo was playing really good tennis. But coming in at the wrong times isn't going to go well. It just really shows, I think, how well Kezo was playing in this tournament. And the fact that he made a top 10 player like that struggle is definitely a good sign for Kezo this year. Now, obviously, there were some other upsets in this tournament and great showings by other players. For instance, Nuno Borges defeating Dimitrov and Davidovich-Fokina and ultimately reaching the fourth round. That was very impressive. But I do want to jump to the quarterfinals and talk about some matches there, starting with Daniil Medvedev versus Hubert Hurkacz. First off, I mean, what a match. It was a five-setter. It was a really epic battle between these two players. On paper, I would say that you would expect a great match from these guys anyway. Medvedev, I would say, is better at defense, and he's going to wear you down, while Hurkacz is a better offensive player, and he's able to take time away from Medvedev. And these two contrasting styles of tennis, I think, make for a really great match. Going into this match, Hurkacz has beaten Medvedev three times, and Medvedev had beaten Hurkacz twice. And these two had had some great matches in the past, so I'm not surprised by the competitiveness of this match at all. The first set of this match was neck and neck the whole way. Statistically, everything was so close, and this was also seen by the points. I mean, the first set could have gone either way, and ultimately Medvedev made a couple smarter decisions, and Hurkacz got a little impatient a couple times too many, so Medvedev was just barely able to scrape out that first set. But then the second set was relatively one-sided, with a score of 6-2 in favor of Hurkacz. Hurkacz played an unbelievable set of tennis, in my opinion. He had no double faults. He was returning fairly well. He won 50% of his returning points, and he also won 100% of all points off his first serve. So those are pretty good numbers for him, and Hurkacz's offensive game was really on in this set. He had a lot of success at the net, closing points away quickly behind that monster of a first serve. And he also did a great job spreading Medvedev out wide with his inside-out forehand, and then he was able to come in and put away that weaker ball from Medvedev. And Hurkacz was just keeping his returns nice and deep, and that's what enables him to stay offensive even while returning. And I would say all of this is what allowed Hurkacz to take that second set with a lot of margin. Then the entire match shifted for the third set when Medvedev took it 6-3. The big thing here was that Medvedev was standing closer to the baseline, and he was forcing Hurkacz to react faster, and because Medvedev was applying more pressure and he was cutting off Hurkacz's shots, he overall did a great job of balancing offense and defense. He was choosing the right time to take risks, and this is why Medvedev is able to shift the momentum in his favor in this third set. Then the fourth set was something that was very similar to the first set. Both players played very well. However, Hurkacz was winning more points off of Medvedev's second serve, and Hurkacz also had a higher first serve percentage, which allowed him to come up with a 7-5 victory in the fourth set. Then that fifth set was incredible for sure. Both players were attacking each other really well. They were defending really well. There were some unbelievable points in this set where I just ended up wondering how on earth did he get that. Ultimately, Hurkacz's first serve percentage could have been higher, and it was only 52 compared to Medvedev's 75%, and Hurkacz just had a few more unforced errors, so Medvedev barely was able to walk away from this match, but both players played really well and definitely one of the best matches of the tournament. The next match that I would like to talk about is the Alcaraz-Zverev quarterfinal match, and in my opinion, this match was not nearly as entertaining as the Medvedev-Hurkacz match, but it's still worth noting because I'm sure a lot of people were expecting Alcaraz to come out on top, but not only did Zverev win, but some of these sets were not even close. Let's start with the first set, which Zverev won 6-1. Zverev was doing a real good job keeping Alcaraz on his toes, and he did a good job just staying in control of the point. To beat Alcaraz, you need to not let him dictate any point, because once he gains control, it's incredibly difficult to get it back. So Zverev did really well playing first strike tennis, and he was able to do this well, minimizing his errors, which definitely contributed to this first set victory. However, I don't think Alcaraz played a great set of tennis at all. His first serve percentage was 55% in the first set, while Zverev's was 88%. And he also had 11 unforced errors in the first set compared to Zverev's 5. Overall, Alcaraz just struggled attacking as well, largely due to Zverev's high ball quality, but he also wasn't playing his best tennis. Second set, it was the same thing. Zverev played high-quality first-strike tennis. He had a 90% first serve percentage, which I gotta say, for someone who has struggled with double faulting in the past, he has clearly worked on that, and he's performing much better now. But yeah, in the second set, Alcaraz had more unforced errors again, and he just lacked that fire in his game that we're used to seeing. Then in the third set, Zverev was up 4-1, and Alcaraz started to actually look better later in the set. He started feeling the ball a little more, and his overall coverage and movement just looked much better. I think Zverev then started to tighten up a little bit as he saw Alcaraz start to play better. We saw his first serve percentage drop by 12%, and the combination of Alcaraz playing looser and Zverev playing a little tighter is what led Alcaraz to come out on top in this set, I think. The fourth set was very competitive and of high quality as well. Zverev was leading at one point, but then Alcaraz was leading, but ultimately, it was a couple points that caused Alcaraz to lose, as evidenced by the tight score. At 4-all, Zverev got the break, and that's what allowed him to win the set. And that brings us to the semifinals. And the first match of the semifinals that I'm going to talk about is Medvedev versus Zverev. This match was predicted to be a good one, and these guys definitely delivered. Before this match, Daniil led their head-to-head, which was 11-7 in favor of Daniil. Especially recently, Daniil has beaten Zverev more and more, so Medvedev, in my opinion, would be the favorite for this match. But the first two sets Zverev took. In the first set, Medvedev had a first serve percentage of only 48%, which against Zverev, you need to get that up, because having the advantage from the start of the point is crucial to beating someone like Zverev. He also had 5 double faults in the first set, and giving away points on your serve for free is one way to lose, because Zverev is a great server. And against someone like him, you need to be capitalizing off your serve, because you can count on the fact that Zverev will likely hold serve. Medvedev was broken in just the third game of the match, so that contributed to the overall struggles that Medvedev had. Just the serving was not on for him. Overall, Zverev had some really great points at the net. He hit some really, really good half volleys, and he was patient before coming in. In the second set, it was a similar thing. Medvedev did solve the double faulting issue, but he still didn't have a great first serve percentage, which was still in the low 50s. But I think Zverev was playing really well. He wasn't giving Medvedev many opportunities to put points away, which is why there were many long rallies, and it was a question of who would stay alive longer in the point. So then in the third set, we see Medvedev's first serve percentage increase by almost 20%. So Zverev wasn't able to get an early break, but the entire set was insane. The amount of effort that these guys put into this set was incredible, and it was extremely competitive, with no player being dominant over the other. The same thing goes for the fourth set, which was also 7-6 in favor of Medvedev. At this point in the match, both players are exhausted. And in the fifth set, this really showed. We saw Zverev's unforced errors double, but Medvedev's were essentially the same. Zverev also made some poor decisions, trying to shorten some points, because I think he was really tired, and it's tough going for five sets. For example, there was a volley early in the fifth set where he just gave it right back to Medvedev instead of moving a little bit more, cutting it off, and putting it away. And that would have given him, that would have put him in a much better position in the fifth set. But it was situations like these where we saw Zverev kind of get a little tired and make some poor decisions. Overall, Medvedev was not letting his exhaustion get to him, and he stayed stronger than Zverev, which is what enabled him to win this match. Now, for one of the most impactful upsets of the tournament that a lot of us didn't see happening, Djokovic falling in the semifinals to Jannik Sinner. First off, Djokovic was definitely off. 15 unforced errors in the first set, 43% first serve percentage, and poor returning are not things we usually see from the 10-time Australian Open champ. And Sinner also played exceptionally well, I will say. He was dictating points. He was not letting Djokovic's balls disturb his rhythm at all. Whether they were high quality, low quality, he was just staying in the point. He would attack the low quality balls. He would hit high quality balls back off Djokovic's high quality balls. And he was just returning every ball really well. And that really restricted Djokovic's ability to attack. The same thing was the case in the second set. Sinner was in control, he was patient, he was not greedy, he was playing some really good tennis. Djokovic still couldn't find his rhythm though, he was nowhere near his true capabilities on the court. But still, Sinner was playing really, really solid. And in the third set, Djokovic played a little bit better. He improved his first serve percentage, his errors were still high for him, but Sinner had more errors in the set than Djokovic still, so Djokovic was attacking a little better, but Sinner was still able to keep up even though he lost the set, and he definitely played a really solid set, but Djokovic did improve a little bit between the second and third set, so he was able to come out on top with a 7-6 win in that set. But in the fourth set, Djokovic still many errors, and he just lacked the control over points that he usually has. Part of that is due to how well Sinner played, but there was something definitely off, and it was one of the worst matches I've ever seen Djokovic play. But Sinner still just wouldn't give up. He just cared so much about this match, and it really showed with how hard he fought. And I think for Djokovic, I mean, he hasn't lost a match at the Australian Open since 2018, and that's got to hurt Djokovic a lot. And now for the first time since 2005, a member outside of the Big Three will claim this title. Now, when we look at the upcoming final, Medvedev leads Sinner with 6 wins over 3, but the past 3 times they played, Sinner has won. So this match will for sure be interesting. If Sinner is able to maintain that level of quality that he had against Djokovic, where even on defense, he's able to hit with incredible quality and he's able to dictate the points, if he's able to play like that, I think that he's in a good position to win this match. But what Medvedev needs to do is he needs to do what he did against Hurkacz and play closer to the baseline. He needs to cut off the ball more. He needs to take time away from Sinner because this is going to make Sinner feel under more pressure and it's going to force him to react faster, and thus it makes it a lot harder to dictate the point. Now, personally, I think we have a 5-setter here. And if I had to pick one to win, I think that Medvedev is going to win this match because he's more experienced in these situations. He's been in Grand Slam finals before. He's won a Grand Slam. And for Sinner to replicate what he just did against Djokovic is going to be incredibly difficult. So that's why I think Medvedev is going to take this match in 5 sets. But Sinner will have massive amount of support from the crowd, and maybe that will help him achieve that high level that he had against Djokovic. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed. I think that we have an incredible final on our hands, and it's definitely going to be one to watch. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.